Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
At us or just follow us
or both.
Twitter is at TNT Radio Empire. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
So I asked Bobby Slayton how the show was last night. He goes, "I was funny." And I said, "How was Billy?" He was okay.
No, I said, "Hey, to show you what a magnanimous guy I am."
Yes, you are.
I'll be at the Funny Bone tonight through Sunday.
Funnybonehall.com.
It's very hard for me to do radio with another comedian because you know me, I like to just talk a lot.
Dominate.
You know,
I got no problem with that.
I'm such a magnanimous guy, and in my opening act, Bill, or feature act as they like to call him, I'm going to let you talk. I talked yesterday. So as long as you keep talking about me and how great I was last night, you can have the microphone because I'm going hog wild here. I love this stuff. If I knew you have a barbecue this morning, great barbecue.
It is great barbecue.
I would have got here earlier.
Yes, you're right. No, you wouldn't have got here earlier.
Well.
All right. But Billy's back. By the way, if Billy would have been a feature we didn't know, we wouldn't have invited him up. But we know Billy. He's a good dude. He's a funny guy.
Yeah. He did very well last night.
Yeah. You guys get along? You ever work together before?
Yeah. No. Oh. And it's weird. I was actually telling Colleen on the way here. Mm-hmm. The last time I was excited to work with a comic and hadn't met him, somebody I looked up to revered before I was even a comic was Greg Giraldo.
Got it.
And I did a week with him, and he was a Can I say the D word on the
air? He was a dick. Was he really a dick the whole time?
He wasn't the whole time.
So you're afraid of, because looking up the Bobby Slayton would be obvious.
And knowing Bobby's persona, you just don't know.
The pit bull.
Exactly.
The pit bull, right.
You don't know what.
And so I was like, I'm going to ask him if I can sell merch. He's going to be like, when's the feature stuff? Since when feature sell merch? I'm just waiting for all that.
Care.
And he's like, I don't care. So what do you want?
You've mellowed.
Right. The first time that Bobby was on the show.
He's mellowed.
I was actually intimidated because I was a fan.
I was a huge fan.
But I was intimidated because
I
knew I would say something and then he would say, rip me, and then I would have to insult him back.
And you can't do
that. And then he would just crucify me. He would just brutalize me.
What happened to them? I missed that, Bobby. What happened to him?
You have mellowed. And not just in the past year and a half since your incident, not since your wife passed away. Right. I think just in the past 10 years you've mellowed. Not on stage, but in personist, you see
Mellow. Right, I think
Mellow.
We just learned.
Am I right, Colleen? Does he see Mellow?
We have learned how to handle
Bobby Mellow?
Well, mellower. Yeah. He seems kinder.
Yeah.
He's a kinder Bobby Slayton.
But are we doing the right thing by just talking about you?
No, but this is not helping sell tickets. No one wants to see a nice
comic. No, you're not nice on stage. I've seen that. You better not be. I want to see the nice. I don't want to go see nice Bobby Slayton tonight. I want to see Bobby Slayton, which I will. See, obviously.
Oh, there'll be somebody around he'll pick on that'll be in there.
Put it this way, last night when I asked him if I was like, well, how clean do you want me to be in Freddy? And he said, well, just make sure you leave the C word for me.
Well, and only because I have a very special joke about that.
Yes.
And it can be such a great, shocking word used properly.
Yes.
I don't think it bothers anybody anymore.
No, it doesn't.
The N-word.
But you don't want the feature act dropping the C-word.
Yeah,
no.
Just, all these, I don't. But if it was really that important, I wouldn't care. You know, there were these comics. Like, when I started out and I was
Who was mean to you? And who was nice to you?
Yeah. Because who intimidated you?
That's a great question.
Well, okay. First of all, I was a cocky young comic.
Yes.
So that's when I was a real wise ass.
Right.
Know-it-all. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was always like that.
Right.
So I guess when you're a major headliner and you come in, there was one guy. Okay, remember Michael Keaton. Batman was great. No, he was great.
But Michael Keaton was a stand-up. Yeah.
He was a stand-up. He was great. I think Elaine Boozler, who I'm good friends with now, Elaine.
She was huge at the time, right?
She's a woman comic trying to make her way, and I was a cocky young kid. So I think we finally became really good friends. But the one guy that was mean to me, the one guy I still despise to this day is, and I like to talk about this on the air because,
But you will,
though. But I will now because I hate him so much. He's Kippadada.
Oh, you still hate Kippadada.
He's was an a-hole.
Does he sing Wet Dream on stage?
You know, but Kip, he's just hated in the comedy community. He's just not a nice man.
Right.
But he did something that I always make sure not to do to my opening act. Like, I'll watch the guy, and if they have a joke, like, let's say Bill is talking about Trump.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm not the kind of guy who don't talk about Trump, I talk about Trump.
Right.
But you can just say, you know, Bill was talking about Trump. You know, he's right. He is a jackass. And then you could do your joke. You
right.
know? Okay.
That's how you do it.
So the only time I've ever told a comic not to do something, if he didn't have to, I was practicing for a Showtime special. There was an important joke I couldn't drop.
Right.
So I put this half hour together. And the comic had a similar line, which would have stepped on my line.
Mm-hmm.
So I just didn't want him doing that. But I remember Kipadonna, he came in and he said this to a lot of comics. He'd go, I'm not embellishing this. He goes, don't talk about cats and dogs. Don't talk about relationships. Don't do any politics. Don't use any four-letter words. And don't talk about airplane travel.
What?
That's the basis of every comic's act. There's nothing else left.
There is nothing else left.
Because I talk about that. And that, to me, was really a selfish thought.
So what'd you do that day when you opened up for Kipadonna?
What'd I do?
All those bits anyway.
Did you defy him?
But I do remember another time. I was out of town, and he tried to nail my girlfriend at the time, who was a bartender there. He said he never did, but he did.
Yeah.
So, you know.
She's still alive? Kipadonna's still a kid?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. Yes. How old's Kipadonna now?
I don't know, but he did something really weird to me. I was in this downtown steakhouse, having this really great L.A. steak joint.
Mm-hmm.
And about 5 years ago, Kip was in there, and I hadn't seen him in a while. And, I mean, I was nice to him. He was nice to me.
Right, right, yeah.
I forgot about all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you brought it up, so I mentioned it.
Yeah.
But he came over to me. And he started talking about women and how much they smell and they stink. And I go, yeah, sometimes we have too much perfume.
Yeah.
No, they just smell evil. And I don't know if he was effed up or if he was just kidding, but he was just seemed deranged. That was one guy. Who else?
Who else? Come on.
I don't know. You know, most of the comics were really nice to me. Leno, when I was a young comic, you know, when I first moved to L.A. from San Francisco,
right.
Jay, for whatever you think of him with The Tonight Show, now that whole fiasco, was one of the greatest comics. If you ask, you know, the late Bill Hicks, ask any comic working today, who's the best comic to ever still work in a club, it was Leno.
Right.
And Jay was just a joke machine. And every joke, he was a sharpshooter. Every joke hit. And so I moved out from San Francisco, and we had a few similar jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I had these weasels in the back of the Comedy Store that would try to sell Quaaludes and jokes, you know. it's just these weaselly comic writer. It was a horrible place. That's why I went over to the Improv. But they'd come up to me after, Jay Leno does that joke.
Is this circa 80, 81? When is this?
Maybe 70s even.
Okay, maybe.
I didn't even know who Jay Leno was. And then I think I'd seen him a couple of times on Merv Griffin and Dinah Shore.
Right, yeah.
High voice. And then when I finally met Jay, I said, you know, everybody's coming up to me and accusing me of doing this joke, that joke. He goes, you tell Leno, said it's okay. I'll write new jokes. You have the same joke, who cares? You know?
Man, that's cool.
He was a great guy.
Yeah.
So most of the comics were really nice guys.
Did you buy any Quaaludes?
I don't remember.
Is there anybody out there that talks S about you to this day? Probably, I never liked Bobby Slayton.
Yes.
You know those names.
Other than ourselves.
You know what? There's a few guys that I don't think get my sense of humor.
Right.
The comics, you know, when I bust their chops.
God,
you know?
That's what you do.
I don't get guys that don't. When I meet a comic that can't take a ball busting, I don't understand.
That's where you come from, you know.
You know, my friend Nick Griffin, you know, who's coming.
Yeah,
Nick's a great comic. Yeah. Nick said to me, "Because how come because Nick was my opening act for years."
Yes, he was. Great to Nick. We love Nick.
Yeah, and he says, "How come you're not nice to some of these other guys that open for you?" He goes, "I've heard a few comics say how mean you are to them," and I'm going, "Well, these guys are just jackass." Maybe because I won't hang out with them after, or you know, I'm playing some miserable club somewhere. I was going to say the funny bum. This is one of the good ones. You know.
No, he'll say it anyway.
I know he will.
But you know, I know playing some miserable clubs. I'm not, there's been years I wasn't a happy camper, but I certainly didn't take it out on the other comics. I tried not to.
Okay.
I would take it out on
other people.
Tom Tyler.
Yeah. That's right. Radio guys, servers, bartenders, things like that.
I always tipped, always took care of everybody.
Got it.
But enough about me. Back to you, Bill. Maybe you want to talk about me tomorrow. who was mean to you? Any headliners mean to you?
Well, like I was telling the Giraldo story.
So Giraldo was mean to you?
He wasn't really mean to me.
How long before he passed away did you meet him?
It was probably a year or two.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But at the time, he had a sober guy with him. He was on the wagon, you know.
Right.
And he was fine all week or whatever. But then one night I come around the corner. This was at the Kansas City Improv. And I come around the corner towards the green room, and he's standing with his back to me in the doorway talking to the guy that's with him. And he's making fun of one of my bits.
Oh.
And didn't know I was coming. So, like, I come around the corner and I see that.
And then he turns around. I saw the guy's face change because the guy could see me.
You're talking, okay, guys.
So when he saw me, his face changed, and Geraldo turns around. Nice shit, and all this real patronizing.
So, do you remember the bit? And was it make funnable?
In retrospect, probably. But it was like I would close with this thing, and at one point in it, I would take the mic like it was like I was shaving my head.
Got it.
It was clippers.
Got it, man.
And so when I came around the corner, he's standing there with a dumb look on his face.
Oh, man.
Pretending
so
to
just
do
mocking
the clippers.
You.
Yeah,
what a
mocking
dick.
Me.
What a dick.
You and know, so you're and, like, you're and like... that was like a blow to me. Because
yeah.
I
you worshiped the guy.
I did.
Oh.
And I wanted him to respect me so bad. So right there, all of a sudden, I realized, oh, he thinks I'm a hack piece of garbage.
You better set up a therapy appointment back home on Monday after this weekend.
I better be
but
careful.
Then, that's the thing. No, but then I see Bobby last night. First time I meet him, starts busting my balls out of the gate.
Right.
And I couldn't have been happier. Like, it was like I just hung out with Bobby Slayton and got my chops busted.
That's
like,
the key. That's the key.
I couldn't ask for a better day.
I learned that from Don Rickles, I guess, probably, because he was the king of that. And I remember the first time I met Don, I was, who was I with? Another comic. We were playing over at Caesars, and Don was over at Harris, two doors down. We went over, went backstage after a show to say hello to him. And he goes, Bobby, take a Valium. Relax.
Don Rickles told you to relax.
Yeah, relax.
All right.
Take a Valium. Relax. You know, Greg Giraldo was one of the greatest comics I ever saw in my life. He was another guy.
It was
amazing.
Very funny.
It was
but that would suck, though.
It was heartbreaking. It was like an ego blow.
It's when you meet people, you kind of, especially with the comics, I would think it'd be tough because you're kind of doing what... You got in the comedy because of some of these guys you used to see as kids.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And you see them and you meet them and they're dicks, and especially dicks to you personally, like making fun of a joke you're doing.
Right,
you know?
Right. And that's the thing.
And
like,
it ruined it for you, right?
Yeah, all week long he was fine,
right.
You know, but then all of a sudden I think, oh, he doesn't like me. This is the worst.
There is some therapy involved.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's good you're with Bobby
but
this
last,
week.
No, but last night, so Bobby comes out to the bar and... you know, we meet, you know, and I tell him who I am. And he goes, oh, yeah. Oh, I've been looking so forward to meeting you. I've heard so much about you. And I'm like, really? And he, no.
Look, you should have said, really. We should have, and I couldn't lie to you. If you just would have stopped right there.
If I would have just said, oh, well, that's good. Thanks.
Yeah, well, that's got to be a fine line for you, Bobby. You've been doing this for so long.
Yeah.
And you're meeting people that were born when you were doing this are opening up for you. And you probably just get tired of people.
Well, you know what it is? You know, it's funny. There's a generation of comics now, most of them suck. There's a lot of good ones, but most comics suck.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't know. Somebody told me, there's like supposedly 2,000 comics working between cruise ships and corporate events.
2,000? Is a list out there.
Yes.
But, you know, maybe there's some of them have day jobs. To be a comic is
still, though,
a
that's
living.
A lot of people.
It might not be 2,000, but I've heard that there's a lot more guys. Because I'll go play clubs. A lot of people I never heard of, and some of them will sell out clubs, they'll sell out theaters, and I don't know who they are. It turns out that a lot of them. You know, YouTube sensations.
Although that drives me crazy. Mm-hmm.
The YouTube sensations who have 10 minutes of material and then you know, do an hour, you know. But there's all these comics, and there's a few guys I've seen over the years that people go, this guy's great. And I'll watch them with these Netflix specials, and I'm going, you know, there are 10 comics that did the same joke back in the 70s before you were born or when you were just a kid.
And just a variation on the theme.
Like, my generation of comedians it was me. Yeah. I came out right after Leno and Letterman and Larry David and Richard Lewis. I was like 4 years after them. So it was me.
And then who was
Seinfeld and Dana.
Got it.
And I mean, there's hundreds of guys, you know. But there was a generation of comics back then. And before that, it was, you know, Cosby and Lenny and the Borscht Belt guys and Buddy Hackett. Okay. So, you know, a lot of jokes have been done. Now you see these kids doing jokes about, you know, smoking pot and getting high.
Right.
Parents. I'm going, Cheech and Chong did that in 72.
That's
but
true.
But they don't know that. It's as well as all this either recycled crap. And maybe it's because there's not enough stuff to talk about anymore. But a lot of these guys don't realize what was – I knew everything about comedy when I started out. I started researching. You know, I knew who Lenny Bruce was. I knew who Rodney Dangerfield was. I knew who, you know, the Borscht Belt.
Yeah, you were compared to Rickles, but you were never Rickles. I never thought you was Rickles.
Rickles was very, very, very clean.
Right, he was clean.
And he'd apologize at the end. I don't. When I talk to him, I hope you die, you fat bastard. I mean it.
I saw Rickles in Vegas one year when we were down there doing the trips, and that's what he does. He spends the last part of his act kind of apologizing to everyone he insulted.
Bobby does not do that.
Well, Johnny Carson was famous. There was that one story where Rickles goes, the black guy in the back is going ooga booga. And Johnny goes, where is the black guy in the back? Show me that. He put the line in the audience, the black guy. Where's that black guy gone? And I love that butt, like they were busting each other's chops like that. That was great. Those guys were all gone. All the great comics are gone, except for me, tonight through Sunday. Before I die. Better come see me.
The newly single Bobby Slayton, too,
and
Austin, by the way.
The MC, very funny, too.
All right. Oh, Austin?
Austin, yes.
Okay. Yeah, well,
great show.
FunnyBoneOmaha.com for tickets.
It's solid.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to check it out tonight. It should be funny, Billy. I know Bobby's funny.
Well, last time you were there, you only caught like the last 2 minutes of my act.
I must have got in late. I'm sorry.
That must have been enough.
I'm expecting you on time this time.
I'll be there on
you
time.
You can't come in the last
2 minutes. I don't come in. I must have been doing something.
You went to dinner with Mercurio before the show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You were Mercurio. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Oh, he's famous for that.
You don't
want
to miss the bit where he shaves his head with the mic.
I'm going to do it now.
Because everything is a callback to that. If you miss that, all the other jokes won't make sense.
At the time it was my closer. Now it's my opener, and I just call back to it. The rest of the show.
You got to see it.
All right, that is the callback. If I missed that, I'm done. Did you watch his set last night, Bobby? How many guys do you watch anymore?
Well, the reason I watched the guys before me is because
you might not watch it the rest of the week, but you.
I catch bits and pieces. I'm busy,
right?
You know, trying to score coke, bang the bartender, and you're trying to get an advance for money so I can buy pot. Right. I'm having drinks. I'm very busy. Okay, I got to call my girlfriend, check out my dog.
Is that Joey Diaz's story about him scoring coke?
Huh?
Was Joey Diaz the one who told the story about him scoring coke? Was it Bobby?
Who Diaz was scoring coke with me?
No.
I thought they were jacking with somebody.
You?
With what?
It specifically was.
How do you know Joey Diaz, right?
Yeah. Of course I know Joey Diaz.
Okay, tells a story.
He was about a year ago?
Yes.
And we haven't seen you since then. He was in the studio with us, and he talked about how he would...
He would create a fake coke dealer.
He said you were in a different town, and he wanted to hook you up, and he would tell you he knows a guy.
Yeah.
And send you somewhere, and it wasn't a guy.
That wasn't me. That never happened.
But I'm not saying it happened or not, but he said it was you, and he really had fun with it. He sold it.
He really did.
I've never gone anywhere to get coke.
Well, I know, but you've done coke.
You make your own, or what?
I've done it.
But he told the story, and it was a hardcore story.
It was pretty funny.
He said he would send you to a gas station. I know a guy, red car.
And you would call him and say,
I'm not there. He told that whole story. And the thing is that I bought it because I'm thinking, well, that sounds like something Bobby might do.
It sounds like something I might do, but I never did. I didn't need drugs that badly. Because what I used to do all the time is I make sure that my feature act would always find it for me. And if he didn't, I make sure he never worked again. Take that.
So, I'll interrupt this. What are we talking about now? Oh, you're talking about... We were talking about
if I was funny.
No. I interrupted Bobby, and Bobby was telling a story about Joey
About Diaz. How much you watch.
Oh, yeah, how you watch comedians.
Right. Yeah. I watch bits and pieces because I really am going over my jokes.
Right.
And I can't sit still for too long for the half hour before I'm on. But I do go check it out. So in case you're doing a bit that's similar.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens when you go on stage and you say to a couple in the front row, you guys married? Yeah, we told the last guy. We've been married for 2 months. And this is the first date. So it kind of, I don't want to do that to the audience.
When's the last time you walked somebody, Bobby?
Oh, my God. What time is it?
Because I know you have a habit of, not a habit, some people just can't take the humor and will walk away.
Last night was great. I was telling Colleen that we had, two big tables of gay guys. They were great. Yeah. I did a lot of gay jokes.
What about another club, though? I've heard stories about you walking to other clubs.
It was last week. Outside of Chicago, the Comedy Shrine. Wasn't a big crowd. It was a bunch of women. A bachelorette party, which usually are intolerable.
The worst.
Absolutely.
They're the worst.
Yep. There's a few comics. I know Nick DiPaolo has it in his contract that no bachelorette parties can be in a show.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't blame him.
I would love to get to that level.
Colleen, don't you try to put them in the back at least?
I do.
But they still make noise. They still make noise.
To contain them.
Yeah, sometimes they're tolerable. Sometimes they're okay. But I've always said when women drink, it's like feeding Gizmo after midnight, putting a gremlin in water. Yeah. But if you want to nail them, you got to get them drunk. Then they start talking. So be careful what you wish for.
I've not met this tolerable bachelorette party yet.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing worse than a drunk, pretty white girl.
Oh, you're right.
Well, these women actually were black, and it was a small crowd. Not a crowd, it was a gathering, a group of people. They were in the back.
Did they know what to expect when they went and saw Bobby Slayton?
I did a black joke or something. I said something about black women and not tipping or something. Was it a joke, in fact? And just stated a fact. And they all were laughing, except for the bachelorette who got him. So they had to leave because she left. But then people walk out once in a while.
I know, but that's just so stupid.
Yeah, but you wear that as a badge of honor, don't you?
What's that?
You don't bum out when people walk out.
No, because it's the same people that put Journey in the joke. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and eat a Papa John's. I think Trump's doing a great job. Yeah. Most of the country should die, really. You know? So, no, it doesn't bother me.
FunnyBoneOmaha.com, Bobby Slayton, Billy Blank, Austin Anderson's your MC, friend of the show also. Come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.